Okay, welcome back. We get to talk to Dick Allgaier once a month. Dick's one of the most busy guys I've ever known. He is juggling many plates, and yet still has the time to separate himself and go into the world of remote viewing, and does it like few others can. And we have a real treat for you. If you look in guests, look under Dick Allgaier's name. Maybe it says Richard, I don't know. But if you'll see the link there, it's the bottom link underneath there, you can actually watch Richard doing a remote viewing session with a whiteboard. He just has the whiteboard, and he's got the target. And the target is T3-02-U2-B5. That's all he has to work on. That is it. And he's able to go into a learned, over many years, state of mind where that target will appear to him and he can actually draw it out and explain it without ever having foreknowledge or any knowledge about it. This is remote viewing. It's like time travel of the brain. And you can go forward or back. This is a really interesting one. So if you've never seen remote viewing, I would urge you to go look at that. It's a YouTube video. It's about 20 minutes, 25 or whatever, but you will find it to be fascinating. I guarantee it. And the target he was after is I knew about after 10 to 12 minutes, something like that. I forget. I knew who it was. I mean, I could figure it out. And it's not like a puzzle to him. He's just trying to put the data down. But I could see it, and I knew where it was going. It's absolutely fascinating. So do look at the link under his name. You'll see the picture of the target. And I've got four pictures of her up there. And you'll see the session that actually was given to Dick as a target, double blind, and he figured it out. Hello, Richard.
Hello. I'm really busy. Do not go to that site. We got our communication crossed because that was private. That was not to be published.
All right.
I need to take that down right now.
All right. Well, can you block it?
Yes, I can. I'm doing that, but that isn't published yet. That comes out Friday on our private site.
All right. I'm sure our friends will be careful. So just block it. We'll get it out there eventually.
Okay.
Anyhow, sign out. I thought we were cleared until the program, so I held off in that regard.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, no, that's for our private members. People can watch it right now. They're going to see you up at the first 5 minutes of it, and then it's going to get taken down. Sorry about that.
I need to get
on my site, but I shouldn't have given that to you. I'm going to be in trouble.
You're not in trouble. Just say no. Then you said we'll talk about this.
We can talk about
publish
it.
This. We'll talk about it. Okay. Well, all right. So can you block it? Don't go look. We don't want to get Richard in trouble.
Let me go ahead. So how you doing, Jeff? It's really cold in Hawaii.
We're down in the 30s, is it?
Last night it was was down. It's below 70, and my wife went to bed with. Hang on.
Go ahead. Finish up.
YouTube.
Go ahead.
It's like it was 70 degrees, and my wife went to bed with three pairs of pajamas on. I had to get up.
Come on, 70?
Yeah, I had to get up and put a extra blanket on. Oh, Google is not letting me come onto my account. They make you go through all this two-factor authentication. Damn. I need to verify myself.
That was just a normal YouTube video. Okay. My fault.
Okay. Hang on. What? Verify it.
By the way, I keep my thermostat at 65 to save money in the winter. I don't run it up to 70, 72, 75. No way. That'd be $1,200 a month, easy, or more. So in Hawaii, when it drops to 70, people's knees begin to knock.
Okay. Well, it's so funny because when you're used to Okay, hang on. When you're used to 85 degrees all the time, and
I get it.
It's really cold.
Here's another little vignette. During 150 years ago, when there were still Native Americans not on reservations, and they were interacting with European Americans who came here and changed everything. In the winter, this was South Dakota, so which would mean the Lakota people. Anyway, they would come to the door sometimes asking for food and whatever. And all they had on was the shorts or whatever the hell they were wearing. And many of them had no shirt on. Or Elisha. And it would be in the 30s or below. And the people in the house said, come on in. Come in. Warm up. Come in.
Yeah.
And you know what? The Indians wouldn't. They said,
it's
no.
It's too hot in there.
Thank you. We have to maintain our ability in the cold by keeping our bodies out in the cold. They survived. This is amazing to me. They didn't have goose down jackets. They had nothing. So, yeah.
Well,
I keep mine at 65.
It's an interesting thing to talk about because things are relative. So when you get people talking about good and evil, light versus dark, you know, what is good or what is evil? What is cold? What is hot? You know, where does cold become hot?
Got it.
Yeah, I mean, well, I'm getting philosophical on you, but it is relative. So, yeah, I live all through the summer in it. I don't have air conditioning. I have one little air conditioner in my office, but I don't use that much. So I'm used to 80 degrees at night, 85 during the day. And it gets down to 70, and people here in Hawaii are just like putting on sweatshirts and coats and all really, really cold. So speaking of proof of life, I just had to wrestle with just now while we were talking YouTube to make that video private. Sorry about that. We'll get to the video later. But I have a Verizon account. It's a business account, and I set it up, and I set auto pay on my bank, and the bill is paid automatically. And I checked my bank account and said, okay, that went out. That's paid fine. And I use the phone every day. And a business associate called me yesterday and said, you're going to get locked out of your account if you don't sign on to your account. I said, oh, did I not pay it? Why is my account going to get terminated? Because you didn't log on for 90 days. I said, well, why do I need to log on? I'm paid. I just checked. The bill's paid. I'm using it. I said, no, if you don't log into your account and do two-factor authentication, make them send a code to your phone and then respond to that. It's called proof of life. They terminate your account.
Who told you this, and what are we talking about? All banks or just your bank?
No, this is Verizon Wireless. It's a cell phone with a Verizon. I have a business cell phone with Verizon.
Right.
And you have to go to the Verizon page, log into your account and just do something, look at it or interact. You have to interact with Verizon's web page at least once every 90 days. If you go 90 days, they lock you out of your account.
Even though
I'm paying it automatically and using the phone.
Well, they won't discontinue your auto billing, right?
I don't know. I wouldn't be able to get, I don't know.
I've never gone to my account on Verizon. I have Verizon. Never. I don't do anything like that. I just stay away. I just pay the damn bill.
Yeah. Well, the YouTube is now requiring two-factor authentication, so you can't just go post a YouTube video with your password. You've got to use the password, and then they need to send a text or an email to you, and you need to go fill that out. The control mechanism of you identifying yourself is ramping up, and it's going to ramp up more in 2024, Jeff. It's getting really, they're going to require a digital ID and require all kinds of verification. to interact in society. So it's pretty brutal stuff. Okay, so we can talk about Maria Orsic now. I'm so sorry. I will put that out publicly in a couple months, and we'll play it for all of your listeners. But right now, it is that was a proprietary thing for our subscribers. But it's a good session. Do you know much about Maria Orsic?
Yeah.
I didn't know. I had heard of the Brill Society. So, okay. I was given a blind tasking. I was told T302-U2B5. That was emailed to me. And I did a session on paper. So I sit down and I write that, and I go through all the protocols step by step by step. And after I did about 15 pages or 20 pages, I submitted that, and I said, I'm going to do a whiteboard on it. And somebody said, yeah, why don't you? I said, okay. And so I set up two cameras. And it's even with my familiarity with being on camera, doing that in a remote viewing setting is like, oh, man. I set up two cameras. I get a mic. The camera's got to be in focus. The lighting, mm-hmm. is the microphone on? You know, have I got the dry ink?
Well, you got to deal with pedestrian things when your head wants to go into a remote viewing status. I get it.
And so I start up. Okay, this is target T302. And the did you hear the helicopter? I hear blah, 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 blah. Black Hawk helicopter flies by my house. I'm like, oh, God, okay. And so it takes me a while to get into it. But I got into this one pretty good. I got some good data.
You got into it. You couldn't do any better. Maria Orsic is someone that very few of you know. The name wouldn't mean anything.
This is one of the great mysteries of World War II, it turns out, that I've been talking to someone about it since I did the session. And she was like the psychic to the Third Reich, sort of?
No. Kind of? No. A little bit different than that.
She was a psychic in the prior to... I got the time frame as being like Sound of Music, like prior to World War II.
That's like correct.
20s and 30s.
30s, yeah.
And I knew that, Jeff, when I sat down and I was, this wasn't, you saw me get emotional at the death event. But
oh, yes.
Let's go back. I'll get to that. We'll do it chronologically. So I'm sitting at my desk, and I see this. I know it's old, and I know it's like a small city, not a modern city, not skyscrapers. And I got the sense of cars that used to go, you know, chugga chugga chugga, like old style cars. But out in the country, they were still doing horses. So I knew it was like, okay, this is the past. And I saw her sitting at a desk or a table. I saw her sitting. And I just had this immense spiritual feel around her. It reminded me of interacting with Lan Vo. When I did my first reading with Lan Vo, and you've done a reading with Lan Vo, it leaves you kind of shaken, you know. It's like, wow, I just interacted with a spiritual being. So I did a reading with Lan Vo, and I go in and sit down and go, oh, this is the great Lan Vo, what's this going to be like, you know? And she gets a deck of cards and spreads out playing cards and says, pick a card. So I pick a card. I go, well, this is weird. And she looks at the card, she goes, who died? Your friend just died. And I had just lost a friend, and I was like, oh, man, she's got me in tears the first 15 seconds of this thing.
Right.
And so then she tells me all these intimate details of my life. And I was like, whoa, came at me so fast. And the reading was over, and I gave her a hug, and I said, thank you, let me take a picture with you, and took a picture. And I went out and sat in my car, and then I sat there alone and just kind of absorbed it. And I started crying. It was such a spiritual encounter for me. And that was similar. I thought this was somebody like Lan Vo, or I thought it might have been Hitomi. I knew it was a woman, and I knew she was real powerful, but it just, her psychic energy was so strong, it just floored me in the paper session. I go, God, I got to know more about her. So very strong person, very strong person. So I figured out, I didn't know if, I go, they didn't call it remote viewing. It's like remote viewing. I go, is she doing tarot cards? No, she's doing something with paper on her desk. It's like, and there's some other people there, like I later picked up like some other ladies, maybe. It's like, are they having a seance? But it's not a seance. And I just knew it was some communication with other entities. And so mm-hmm. What's her story? You know more than me. Was she like channeling?
Maria Orsic is generally, how would I phrase this, considered to be the inventor of the Earth's human first flying saucer. All right? She was, this is in the late 20s, early 30s. She began to get channeled information on how to build one of these things. Anti-gravity, if you want to play that game, whatever. So she started building them. She and another woman and a group. And they began to build it, and they worked. And the SS found out about it in the 30s, and they said, we want the technology right now. You want to continue? Give us the technology. So she gave it to the SS. The SS built their own series of flying discs. You can find all this out online. And I just found out something. I didn't know this. They made a movie about Maria Orsic in 2017.
I want to see that.
The storyline is very good, but somebody wrote in, wrong casting for Maria. Have you seen the real Maria Orsic? She was absolutely stunning. The nobody they cast for her in this role is a tragedy. I was really excited to see this film, but not now, not so much. Please recast Maria. So that's one review, okay? And that was...
Yeah.
From April 2022, but the film was made in 2017. I don't know how good it is. I have no idea. But there you go. It obviously wasn't a blockbuster. It's only 53 minutes long. It's not a long movie.
I'd like to see it because I'm interested in her. I didn't really know much about her. I guess I'd heard her name. I knew the Vril Society, and I said it in my session. I figured out it was something to do with Vril ladies with long hair.
And here's the kicker. If you want to hear it, they built these and the Germans had them. I've got two pieces of black and white film. Actually, I have a third now showing them flying, and it certainly is phenomenal to look at. I think many of you have seen the video. If you go up at the top of the page on the right and look for the Rents videos up on the right side at the top of the page, and you scroll down in the Rents video section. My webmaster messed up.
I've seen that video though. It is. You know, the problem with that video now is with AI, they're putting stuff out that looks kind of like that.
It looks ancient.
That video you put out 10 years ago or more?
More.
And it was prior to AI.
That was the real deal.
That was the real thing, yeah.
Yeah. I got a third clip showing the same craft in a different location, apparently, and it's fascinating. Anyhow, Maria
so this
was
this
building
is yeah
these. She built
so
these disks, which flew. The technology was taken, appropriated by the SS, and they built their own. Hitler was afraid to use them. And the best guess I can come up with is that the technology was so advanced, they couldn't take a chance on one of them being shot down over enemy lines. So they didn't use them. Air-to-air combat, they didn't use them. They could have. They may have used them for recon. I don't know the answer. These are very secretive subjects. But Maria Orsic, in 1945, left a note at her residence, apparently. She said, "We are going home. You will never see us again. Good luck, whatever." That was the message, though. And no one ever saw her again, nor her. She had another woman with her. It is thought that they came here from Aldebaran in the first place and began to get the information from home on how to do this, and they did it, and that she went home, that they had built a large ship to take all of them out of here as the war ground to its inexorable conclusion, and they jumped through a wormhole and went back to Aldebaran. That's the thought. That's why I'm wondering if you or your viewing might have picked up someone else on the street or who knew her, and maybe that wasn't Maria's end.
Yeah.
Because the word is she left a note and was indeed gone. Back to Aldebaran. And Clark McClelland, the NASA engineer, told me privately on more than one occasion, he said, "Jeff, it's all about Aldebaran. Don't forget that. Aldebaran. Aldebaran, I believe. Aldebaran. It's a star and has planets around it, apparently. It's a long way away, but with the right technology and wormhole location, I guess you can go there quickly." Anyway, that's what I heard about Maria's end. But what you encountered was horrible.
Yeah, here I am in a remote viewing session, and we kind of try to stay away from UFOs. We get a UFO target once in a while at Future Forecasting, but we don't like to. There are a lot of people that claim to be remote viewers, and they do a lot of UFO targets, and it's really easy to do a target and give all the known lore of gray aliens, you know, and this and that. And
sure.
And then you find out, oh, it was a UFO target. Oh, it was a great hit. And you didn't really remote view. You're just making up stuff. But anyway, so here I am sitting there and I see this spiritual lady and she's like doing a reading. And then I close my eyes and I look and I'm face to face with a really strong visual of a craft. And I'm going, oh, God, you know, what's this getting in the way of, you know? And so I drew that, and then I got the sense that she had an encounter with, like, orbs of light. I don't know if she saw a UFO, but I knew she was interested in them, and I knew she was getting information about them.
Right.
My session didn't say that she was designing UFOs. I didn't go that far. But I did see UFOs, and so I never saw her. You can do movements. You can move your awareness, like, okay, see this person older. See, I saw her younger. I got to show you I didn't send my paper session. I need to send that to you. We'll publish that out when it comes out a little later, and we'll go over it all. But I couldn't see her as an old lady. So I go, well, what happened to her? And I went in my little EMF tent and went into my altered state. And I saw somebody that was disguising themselves as an old man and encountering Russian soldiers and being taken out in a brutal way. So My remote viewing did not have her getting the intricate plans of a UFO, and did not have her beaming up to Aldebaran. I had her being killed by Russians. But after doing the session, I got feedback 4 days ago, a week ago. Our mutual friend told me that this is one of the great secrets of World War II, and that, yes, the Vril ladies were getting plans for UFOs, and they were each getting a different component, and they would draw it on sheets of paper and then overlay them, and it would make a schematic.
Huh.
Have you heard that?
Interesting. No.
Yeah.
That's fascinating.
Maybe I wasn't supposed to tell that, but yeah, that was supposed to be the way they did. And supposedly the story's true, according to my source.
Mm-hmm. No, I believe it. It's true.
So that, World War II has so many secrets and is such a different story. And I'm not talking about the concentration camps. I'm talking about the technology and what happened at the end of the war. And this would be Admiral Byrd, right?
Sure.
And the, was it the Battle of Los Angeles when they were like shooting?
Yep.
They had a
February
big shooting
1942.
War.
Yeah.
Was that the German craft they were shooting?
We don't know.
Does Harry Cooper know
that.
About all this? I haven't. I need to talk to
him. I don't know
Harry.
If he knows about the Battle of L.A. I've spent scores of hours studying the Battle of L.A. I had an eyewitness, two eyewitnesses.
You talked to somebody that was there. It was a lady, I recall.
Yeah, I had a friend, a lady who was there. She was an air raid warden. She told me the whole story. She got a call from her air raid warden headquarters, and they said, get your hat on and get outside and get everybody off the streets. And she said, I looked out my window when I asked what it was. She said, there's a enemy craft over the city. And she looked up and she said it was the most beautiful thing she'd ever seen. It was just hanging up in the air there, slowly moving southwest over Culver City.
This wasn't a light in the sky.
This
was a craft.
No.
And they were shooting at it for like hours, right?
Yes. They shot a couple thousand rounds of AA at
it.
If you look up the Battle of Los Angeles on the Rents.com search engine bar, Battle of L.A., you'll see pictures, you'll see accounts, newspaper stories, headline newspaper stories, front page, et cetera, et cetera. So I have had, if you remember the name Bill Tompkins, William Tompkins.
Oh,
I had Bill Tompkins on for over 53 hours. Of interviews on the program. He was a 12-year-old boy or something like that when that event happened, and he saw the whole thing.
I'd forgotten about him. He was such a remarkable guy, and he came on your program, and it was like he needed to download all his information, and he came on with you, and he downloaded it, and then he was gone.
53 hours worth, and then he died at... He was still coming on, and we were getting ready to have him on again, and he died at 93, I don't remember now. But a wonderful guy, William Tompkins. Extraordinary story. Just amazing.
Okay, so the real history, as I've been told, and this is not from my remote viewing, is that, yes, Germany did have, and they knew it at the time. They called them Foo Fighters.
Yeah. Well, that was, those were pretty much orbs, little white round objects that would fly in and amongst the bomber formations.
Yeah.
They weren't big discs. They called them Foo Fighters. That's why, I don't know. I think Foo is French. Fire in French is F-E-U-X or something, and that's how you pronounce it, Foo. So it became Foo Fighters, F-O-O.
So, all the bomber guys saw that. And then so the Germans had discs, and
they also had atomic bombs, but Hitler wouldn't use it. And I wonder if he had it to do over again, if he would. He was probably told, if you use those, German-occupied Europe will be leveled and nuclear for years. And he didn't want to do that.
Well, they made some deal, and Hitler went to Argentina, and all the big money went down to Argentina, and then there's a connection with Antarctica, and Admiral Byrd went down to the South Pole, got his ass whooped, came back, and said, there's a technology that can go from pole to pole in 5 minutes. And that was the remnants of the Germans that had gone down there.
Right. Well, and the 1952 overflight.
Then they went to I've been told that that overflight was
over Washington, D.C. Yes.
Yeah. People say, well, if there were UFOs, why don't they just land at the White House and talk to us? Well, they did. They went over the Capitol and the White House and put on a show of force, and I'm told that was the real end of World War II. The real surrender treaty, and that's why all the presidents go to Bariloche to renew the treaty. Have you heard that one?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, truth is stranger than we know. So
yeah, the other guy, in addition to Maria Orsic, who was really involved with creating these so-called anti-gravitic craft, was Victor Schauberger. And he had a very interesting explanation as to how he was able to make these craft fly, as it were. And it was, I don't want to go into it, it's too complex, but it was very interesting. No combustion engine required. And I'll get that picture back. The video is supposed to be up at the Rents video section at the top of the homepage. And it should be at the bottom, permanently at the bottom of all the entries. We just downloaded some of them into the Moore, M-O-R-E page, and he took the UFO video with him.
So, sorry about that mix-up, the promo. That we have paying subscribers that pay our remote viewers to enable them to do their
thing. That's no problem.
Okay. I don't really need the money, but the other guys do. And so it's futureforecastinggroup.com. But people can get a free 7-day trial. The video of Maria Orsic, and you can see the other, Edward Reardon did a fabulous session on that, and Naeem Vendreas got the technology of what it was they were downloading, and all that goes up. It'll be published Friday morning, so people can go to futureforecastinggroup.com, sign on for a free 7-day membership, see all the stuff that we have, some of our other remote viewing, and then Friday when that drops, you can watch it. After our subscribers have watched it a little bit, I'll publish that in public on YouTube, Jeff, and we'll do another program on it. I think that's an important bit of proof of remote viewing that the public needs to see, because it was one of my better ones. And
That's saying a lot, too. You've had incredible sessions. Remarkable.
There's sometimes when I think I know what the target is, like I'm convinced I know what it is, and then I go for feedback, and I'm like, okay, I'm live on recording on Zoom, and I'm all puffed up, like, yeah, I know this is such and such, and then they tell me the feedback, and I go, oh, I was wrong. Oh, it's like that. This part of it's right. So, but this one, I pretty much figured out what it was from the remote viewing. It was good.
Did you know about her before the session?
I'd heard the name. I didn't really know the story. I don't delve into that stuff. I knew about the Vril Society. I knew that there were some psychics. Was it the Thule or Vril? I don't know. They
were, I think, in the Vril, but the both of them were very secretive.
Well, I didn't have her you know, going into another dimension. Now, I remote viewed Elon Musk earlier this year, and I did see Elon Musk. I saw him having an encounter where he was like lifted out of his body, and I thought it was an abduction, and then he got like this download of information and put back. So I think Elon Musk is somehow got some big powers behind him. So, interesting
stuff. He didn't make all that money on his own, Dick. He was placed. No.
Yeah. Yeah. He was put there to
just like Zuckerberg
for a purpose.
Same
idea. You don't get to be a billionaire without being part of the program. It just doesn't happen. You're not allowed to. So, hidden history of World War II. No history is what we think it is. You know, that brings us to Putin. What people think about Putin is probably 100%, 180 degrees wrong. The sanctions didn't hurt him a bit. He's moving away from the dollar. They're doing fine in Russia.
Oh, Russia's doing very well. We've been destroyed, of course, under the guise and pretext of sanctions on Russia. We just cut our own throats. But that was part of the game of destruction of the white Western Christian world. It had to happen. That was their decision anyway. So let it do us to ourselves.
It's picking up fast. You just saw that gay sex in the Capitol story. Yeah, man. Disgusting.
Oh, the photos. Was it photos in the White House or something?
No, it was one of the chambers.
Oh, the congressional chambers. I guess.
Yeah, like where they hold the confirmation hearings for Supreme Court justices.
Well, that's perversion. That's where perversion will take you every time. Down, right down to the bottom. And that's why we're headed down. Our morality is gone. The targeting of it was done in broad daylight. And it's been very successful. I figured it would not have any traction at all, but it did. And the media is still pushing it. Politicians are pushing it. It's not going to go away. This stuff is here. War on children, when they formally launched the war on children and childhood innocence, which they did, I knew that was the end.
They call it gender-affirming care.
Oh, yeah.
Totally backwards. Really sad to see what's happening to America. It's not going to ever recover. I'm sorry,
folks. It's not going to be allowed to. Correct.
Yeah. I had an interesting conversation with somebody born in the early 1980s. Nice guy. Get along with him. It was not confrontational, but he just pretty much said, you guys are old, man. You've had your shot. We're here to make you uncomfortable. Anything you like, we're going to go against that. And they're just that. Have you ever talked to some millennial or Gen Z and had them just tell you to your face, hey, you're history, man.
No,
I don't like your generation.
No, I don't.
I can see where they're a little upset. Well, the next generation is going to be Generation Alpha. That will be the kids.
That's it.
Born.
It's already been named. You got it.
Generation Z was the last generation of the sovereign United States as we knew it, and they got a raw deal because it's like the game of musical chairs. When the music runs out, and that's the generation where the music is running out, and they're on YouTube all over the place just saying, I'm working full time, I can't afford a place to live, I can't afford a car, there's no money, I don't know. And it's true. Could you imagine starting out today at a...
No. No, you wouldn't get to first base unless you were... I hate to say this, unless you're a member of the tribe, and then doors will open for you.
Yeah. When I started at the TV station in 1974 as an intern, I think I was paid $150 a week.
Mm-hmm.
And that was good money for, you know, you could live on that in Salt Lake City in 1974. Sure. Not great, but gas was $24.9.
You learned, you were obviously learning how to process film and edit film and glue film and all of that. You work in the film department too? I did.
I did. I used to cut film. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then I remember 1976 when they came out with videotape, we got a TK-70. We got these early, I think they were called Akai quarter inch. It was like videotape that came on a reel, like a reel to reel, and you just had to thread it through.
Huh.
And then you'd shoot that on a deck.
Yeah.
And you needed a lot of light. They were really bad in low light. And then we got the TK-76, which was the Sony.
That was a standard for a while.
Yeah, yeah. So, but, you know, my first contract was, I think, $16,500 a year. So a little over $1,000 a month.
They're not bad back then. And
yeah.
You got to be work in the celebrity business, too, on TV.
Well, for me, it was like I get to go see cool things, you know, like interesting stuff. You don't ever know what it's going
to
be.
Field reporter, you get to see it all. That's right.
They pay you to go to the front lines of all this. I used to.
Yeah.
I covered Ted Bundy. He moved to Utah. And he was putting his victims out in the woods. And I remember being at the weekend news like, hey, the sheriff's talking about something up this canyon. And we go there and like, there's another one. Is it that guy? Who is it? And exciting times. Exciting times. So anyway, back to Gen Z.
Okay.
Generation Alpha.
Alpha.
They will be... Their value will not be computed via birth certificate. Those of us that are previous to this upcoming generation, our value was valued by a birth certificate that held our value to the administrators of the world. And we create money through commerce, and we were arranged by nation states. They established nation states for us to group ourselves together, to have a common language, to have a common symbology, a common culture, an anthem, a flag, certain type of money, and we would gather and we'd have pride in that. And within the nation state was counties where the revenue of the human capital or the human product was counted. In the future, it's not going to be done through nation states. It's going to be done with technology using blockchain and using regional administration and corporations. And I'm sorry to tell folks that. People, no, I'll never give up cash. I see people on Facebook and Twitter posting like, don't ever go to a place that doesn't accept cash. It's like, young people don't use cash. They're not going to, the new generation, they'll never use cash. They don't want
it.
They just use their
phones to pay. They got a debit card. That's it.
Yep.
They're already digitized.
Yeah. So they're going to be monitored for caloric intake and carbon credits. Pretty sad. Pretty sad. Hey, Jeff, Texas just signed a law into effect to allow police to arrest illegal invaders. Like, that's going to, you know.
What was it? Another state, was it? Who was it? Arizona? California? Has now allowed DACA recipients to sign on and become law enforcement officers. Police. DACA people. With the...
Yeah, and they're... They're putting them in our military, giving them high-tech weapons.
Right.
it's done. It's over. I predict. Well, they cut. You know, I was talking to somebody on the phone a week ago, and I said there's going to be IEDs in America, and they just found some at the southern border, but it was covered up. It made news for like one day.
There's 10 of them, 8 or 10 they found.
Yeah. So they've got all these fighting age men from the ones from China are the ones that scare me. The ones
they
that
should.
Stood there with military bearing.
Yep.
You published that,
agree.
Didn't you? I think I
saw
that.
Now, somebody wrote to me, and he may be listening right now. He said that two hands behind the back posture in Chinese men means that they're showing a submissiveness to earn money to be able to take care of a wife. There's a cultural meaning to that that's not strictly Western military.
Oh.
Okay? So I found that out the other day. And I've written to the fellow, and I need to get back in touch with him. But he explained what it was. He's an American. He lives over in Beijing. He said it's a body posture, but it's not military. It has to do with getting a wife and earning money to support her. Like, that's what I'm here to do, earn money to be able to go back and get a wife. Although I don't, frankly, believe that, because these men are all... clearly, out of a cookie cutter, many of them.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
And, well, and there are others coming in that are, well, Trump, the Democrats are blasting Trump. He said, we're poisoning the blood of the nation. And they, oh, he's Hitler. But, there's too many in. There's millions of them now.
There's 5.5 million nationalist Chinese here, and they're almost all People's Liberation Army or CC, Chinese Communist Party members. They wouldn't get in here otherwise. The Chinese wouldn't let them in. So they've got 5.5 million here right now. Figure most of them are fighting age males, and it doesn't matter. The females will be just about as aggressive. So you figure you got 5 million at least. Take 10% of that, need 500,000 troops in terror cells dispatched all over the country to take out substations and waterworks and other infrastructure keys, bust bridges up, block freeway. They could do it. They could do it. 500,000 turned loose in this country with weapons and munitions. They could do it.
Yeah. Block vital roadways. Blow stuff up.
That's all doable, easily.
I think we're going to see
sorry.
It.
We don't have it anymore here. We're a sitting duck. Maria
so,
Orsic.
Yeah, that's I urge people to go get a free trial membership and watch that on Friday. It was she really touched me as a very powerful being. There's some claiming there was no Maria Orsic, that it was all
of them. Sigrun, her partner, Sigrun, and Maria. Hmm? And her name was actually a little bit longer than that in the Czechoslovakian spelling. But they built their first craft in 1925. I think it was 25. And it blew up. And then they built another one. They almost going to give up, but they didn't have a lot of money. They weren't rich. They weren't wealthy. They were just getting information and building things with it. And they worked with a professor named Dr. Schumann. She didn't use the word extraterrestrials. Dr. Schumann was the first one to do that. Oh, here's something. Wait. They're talking about the first... test flight of the first craft that she built on this channeled or provided information from Aldebaran, the people in Aldebaran. This particular account says the first flight test of the Jenseits Flugelmaschine, and it says a fiasco. It was a total failure, as many have expected, a giant fiasco. Eyewitness reports indicated that the machine blew up after spinning and spinning, kind of like fireworks, and the upper layer, the top of the machine, disintegrated, and the lower part, the lower third level, defragmented like a hand grenade. It just blew up. And the Dr. Schumann was devastated, but Maria never gave up hope. She went back to the drawing board, et cetera, et cetera. They eventually got it done. By the late 20s, early 30s, they had these things flying. It's a very
amazing
story.
Amazing story. Yes. Well, Jeff, Merry Christmas to you. You know, I got to be like 8, 9 years old with my family and go to the Christmas tree lot when you were a little kid. You'd run down the aisle of Christmas trees to smell that, and your dad would pick one out and put it on the rope it onto the top of the car, take it and put it up in your house. And we'd string the lights and we'd put up tinsel, and we had family ornaments we'd put on, and fire in the fireplace. And what a special time to be
it was magic. Christmas was magic. And
I remember being in grade school and junior high, and you couldn't wait you'd get off school about a week before Christmas. You'd have that final assembly where they'd sing Christmas carols, and then it'd be the last day of school and you go home, and then you could go out and go sledding and go shopping, Christmas shopping, and then light the Christmas tree, and the night before put stockings out, and just
we had it all. All right, Dick, thank you. Merry Christmas to you and Mimi, and we'll talk. Thanks.
2024 is going to be a wild ride. We'll talk about that next time. I'll give you some ideas about what we're looking at. We're going to be looking forward to that. All right, see you, Jeff.
Thank you, Richard. Okay, good night.
Bye-bye.
And thank you for being here on this Monday. We'll be back tomorrow. We're watching very closely. Take care. Talk tomorrow.
By taking the link at the top of Rents.com and enrich your mind with the most unique panorama of vital information and the best independent, honest journalism in radio. Look for the subscribe now link on Rents.com and give yourself the knowledge you need for these unprecedented times. You're listening to the Rents Radio Network, nationwide and worldwide on the net and at Rents.com.